This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:36 a.m. on Wednesday, the 4th of May. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. You're listening to The Morning Run. Coming up in the next half an hour, we're going to be discussing Baidu, Malaysia Airlines under new leadership, also EPF's 2015 report. Let's start off with the Australian government, though. Yesterday, they unveiled their budget ahead of an election expected to be in early July, promising to rein in the deficit without undermining Australian jobs and growth. So Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is seeking a pre-election bounce for his government from this budget amid accusations that he's failed to deliver on his pledge of providing economic leadership.
I think they are trying to struggle and survive in a post-resource global economy. People are not using as much copper and coal and steel anymore, and Australia is very dependent on that. So they want to diversify away from that. I wonder if structurally, if they can do that easily, because all these things have already been established there. How are they going to move forward with something else?
I think that's also a very important point, that they're trying to introduce packages to spur youth employment in other areas. I think this is another method of trying to jumpstart the economy. So, you know, relooking on diversifying resource-based economy, trying to jumpstart the economy by, youth employment. They're trying various things to actually prop up that business. Business and economy there.
Okay, so the government's, the Australian government has offered tax cuts for small businesses and high income earners. Also, a crackdown on tax avoidance by big multinational corporations and to cut tax concessions for the wealthiest Australians saving for their retirement. Does it seem like they're benefiting the rich already?
Yeah, so this is a global problem, actually, because we have heard of all these big U.S. multinationals stashing away trillions of cash. In fact, hundreds of trillions of cash abroad. This actually makes the government lose out on potential tax revenues. And Australia has the same problem. Australia also wants to really improve the quality of the country by expanding the tax pie, taxing the rich, or at least reducing the rebates for the rich. I think this is an ongoing thing, but again, it's very challenging for people to do that, especially when they're running for elections. People don't like higher taxes.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking about elections, right? I think there is a poll coming from Bloomberg saying that the Turnbull's government is actually trailing against the opposition, and on top of this, they have to defend a sizable lower house in the upcoming elections. And I don't know whether, the government that Turnbull is leading has that ability to pull this coalition together and try to win back that kind of popular trust or public's trust. And I don't know whether these measures are good enough for him to win the elections.
I think that going back to the equality argument, Australia is a pretty equal country. If you look at a Gini coefficient, where of course any number above 40 represents a not equal society in that particular country, Australia has all the while been below 40 up until now. I think that number stands at about close to 30. But in the past, it has been at the 20-something level. Oh. So over the decades, the inequality in Australia has been rising.
And that's exactly why, Melissa, you were saying that they're going to cut tax rebates for the rich. Julian, you were saying that the number is now in the high 60s. That's exactly why that tax rebate is important, because the wealthiest 20% of Australian households, they have had a net worth that was 68 times as high as the least wealthy 20% of Australians. So they're trying to rebalance that kind of economic distribution between the rich, more of the rich and more of the poor. And I think that is the key point here.
Well, ahead of the unveiling of the budget, the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, surprised markets by cutting interest rates to 1.75%. I guess it's in line with policy's rollover, but as we spoke to our Australian market commentator, Ben Lebrun, he was expecting the Reserve Bank of Australia to hold their powder dry for a little longer.
That's right. This follows all the negative interest rates in Japan and Europe, as at least Australia has some kind of positive interest rate. I think this will have impact on people's savings as well. When the elderly and retired, they can't afford to take a lot of risk in the other markets. Their only option is a bank savings account, which is offering just a little over 2% there. And as we move into a kind of negative interest rates era, the government there would also have to think about the aging population and their welfare.
7:41 right now, Chinese authorities have summoned the head of Baidu, which is the Google equivalent in China, after the death of a student who sought a cure for cancer on the search engine. So the death had prompted a barrage of criticism for Baidu for prioritizing paid search results. A little backstory here. What happened was this 21-year-old had already been diagnosed with terminal soft tissue disease when his family found an experimental immunotherapy treatment at a Beijing hospital thanks to a Baidu search. Now, they spent $30,000 on the therapy, but it failed. He had, in fact, borrowed money to cover the cost. So now they're accusing Baidu for accusing the hospital for exaggerating the treatment efficiency, and accused Baidu of ranking medical information research results by the amount paid by advertisers.
This is, of course, a travesty because Baidu is quite a large company in China. In fact, it's the Google of China, running China's search engine, market capitalization of $60 billion compared to Google's $500 billion almost. And in terms of share price, they've obviously not done as well as Google. But, you know, they have that kind of ecosystem control in China, which puts them in a position of responsibility. They have to make sure that what they sell on the website, find some way to do that, because you're a technological company. You should be able to glean out very shady deals on your website.
Yeah, and the very basic of, say, Google's premise is that it clearly differentiates the paid entries versus the search results. And they go on at length trying to say that any accusations that any of the search results is based on paid, they will react very fast on it. But Baidu being accused of this shows that, so from Google we move to Baidu. Baidu also says that they differentiate paid entries versus search results, but this kind of case is indeed a travesty if it's proven true.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, is this a case where it is the responsibility of the user, of the buyer, to make that differentiation? Can you blame the search engine for pushing up? You chose to click on it, you chose to act on it. Is this a case of buyer beware, or are we talking about, some kind of higher
yeah, you're right.
Cost, right?
Yeah. Where do you draw the line as, let's say, an advertiser, which is in a way what Baidu and Google are? Because in the 1920s, before all of us were born, they used to sell radioactive materials as a form of health supplements at the point in time, right? Who would... Today, if you do that, I mean, if something is known to be harmful and you allow that advertisement to take place, then I'm sure there must be some kind of onus to be put on you, some kind of even criminality to be put on you for allowing that kind of ads to go through. It's the same kind of responsibility that are put on, let's say, landlords to prevent drug addicts from inhabiting the premises, publishers for publishing books that are not of credible value, mm-hmm. and even retailers have to get their house in order. But I'm just wondering whether it's only a case of buyers beware, because in a lot of websites today, like eBay and Airbnb and so on, they have reputational systems where you can look through the history of the vendors to see whether they do as they say.
And they even have that on Alibaba as well, an Alibaba certified vendor, for instance. But yes, you know, this case is actually one of those repeating cases for Baidu. If you remember, in 2011, Baidu was forced to apologize after a Chinese state TV reported of fraudulent advertising, as well as fraudulent pharmaceutical adverts, for instance.
It's not the first time.
It's not the first time. Okay. But, buyers beware, or Baidu being victimized. That's the story.
7:45 right now. We'll bring you more business news in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.